All right, a couple of housekeeping reminders. Based on recently passed California state legislature and the governor signed Assembly Bill AB 361, which amends the government code to allow Brown Act bodies to continue to meet remotely if there is a proclaimed state of emergency and the state or local official recommends measures to promote social distancing, the Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District Hearing Board will temporarily provide virtual access through a webinar and/or call-in option. Interested parties have been noticed of this virtual hearing board meeting and have been provided instructions on how to participate. Members of the public are afforded an opportunity to speak on any agenda item before consideration of that item. Persons wishing to speak may do so remotely via Zoom or telephone. And to provide comment via desktop, laptop, or smartphone, click on the raised hand button at the bottom of your screen. If participating via dial-in or telephone, you can dial *9. This will signal to the host that you would like to provide a public comment, and you will be unmuted when it is your turn to speak. Persons may address the hearing board on any matter listed on the agenda via telephone or Zoom connection. Matters not listed on the agenda may be addressed during the comment period of the agenda. Thank you, and that concludes the reminders.
All right, thank you. So I will call to order the December 1st, 2021 meeting of the Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District Hearing Board. Welcome everyone. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Dr. Colomay?
Here.
Mr. Dressler?
Here.
Mr. Peters?
Here.
Mr. Saperstein?
Here.
And Chair Cox?
Here. So it looks like we have a quorum, correct?
Correct.
All right, thank you. First item of business is the report on circumstances of the COVID-19 state of emergency. Will the clerk please read the item into the record?
Report on circumstances of the COVID-19 state of emergency. One, receive an update on the state that the state remains under a proclaimed state of emergency related to COVID-19, and B, public health recommendation issued September 28th, 2021 regarding social distancing. Two, provide direction to staff about the location of the next meeting.
Okay. Ms. Novak, please proceed with your report.
Yes, if I may. The state of emergency is still in existence. Both the state of emergency and the public health officer's recommendation to social distancing are still in effect. So at this point, I would request that the board find or that it find that it has reconsidered the circumstances of the state of emergency and the continued recommendation to social distance. Once you find that those two continue to exist, then I would suggest that you vote to or decide whether or not you want to continue to meet remotely. And if you do, then direct staff to continue to notice and hold the hearings remotely consistent with the government code. So first business is to find that you have reconsidered the existing state of emergency and the continued social distancing recommendation.
Okay, thank you. So first let me ask, is there any discussion among the board?
Mr. Peters has his hand raised.
Yes, Mr. Peters.
Hello, I enjoy these Zoom calls. They're so efficient. I would appreciate continuing to do that for at least the short term. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else have?
And then Ms. Nova, we would also have to, if the hearing board elects to continue meeting remotely, we would have to meet within 30 days.
Yes.
To continue for our January meeting, correct?
Yes.
Could you please clarify that for the hearing board?
You would need to have, so every 30 days, it doesn't have, you know, it could be shorter than 30 days, but every 30 days you need to meet to reconsider the state of emergency and the social distancing recommendation and to decide whether or not the board would like to continue meeting remotely. Unfortunately, your next meeting is scheduled for January, what is that, Lorena, the 3rd or the 5th? So there will, you'll have to have a special meeting in between because January the 5th is more than 30 days from today. So you're going to have us hold a special meeting if you would like to continue to meet remotely.
Is there any way we are authorized to do an electronic vote with the state of emergency the way it is?
No, not my understanding, no. You can meet remotely to have that short, specific few-minute meeting, but it has to be done remotely.
All we would need to do is ensure a quorum of three. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Given the uncertainties of whether we're going to have another wave this winter and Omicron, I think it's prudent that we proceed with that and just guarantee that we have three people on board within the 30 days.
All right.
And we need it.
And it will need to be noticed, you know, as your usual meetings. It's a public hearing. But other than that, it should be short and simple.
Okay. So I have a motion to continue on essentially with the remote meetings. Do I have a second?
I'll second. This is Terry.
All right. Thank you, Terry. So I have a motion and a second. Any other discussion on the recommendation to continue meeting remotely? Okay.
Chair Cox, would you and I work together on figuring out a date for the special meeting?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. It's going to be busy probably last week of December, but it should only take a couple minutes, right? So I have a motion and a second. No other discussion? All right. All in favor? We'll do a roll call vote.
Roll call vote. Thank you. Dr. Colomé?
Yes.
Mr. Dressler?
Yes.
Mr. Peters?
Yes.
Mr. Saperstein?
Yes.
And Chair Cox?
Yes. Yes. So the motion carries. So we'll ask the staff to go ahead and work with us to figure out what the best time or what the best date is and time to do our meeting to then extend it some more. So, and then if possible, it'd be nice to line up these 30 days with our monthly potential meetings. So, all right. Next item of business is the approval of minutes of the September 1st, 2021 meeting. Is there any discussion? All right.
I'll move the minutes.
All right. I have a motion from Mr. Peters to accept the minutes. May I get a second?
I'll second since I was there.
All right. If we have a motion and a second, any other discussion? All in favor of approving the September 1st, 2021 meeting minutes?
Chair Cox, please. I'm sorry, I'd have to do
roll call. I was just going to say, please do a roll call.
Dr. Colomé?
Yes.
Mr. Dressler?
I'll abstain.
Mr. Peters?
Yes.
Mr. Saperstein?
I'll abstain as well.
And Chair Cox?
Yes. Okay, the next item is announcements and staff reports. Are there any announcements or reports from the staff?
Good morning, Chair Cox and members of the hearing board. The staff does not have any updates at this time.
All right, thank you very much. Next item is public comment. Now is the time for members of the public to speak on items that are not on the agenda. Are there any requests to speak on items not on the agenda? Please indicate so by clicking on the raise hand if you're on a computer, laptop, or dialing 9 on a mobile device.
Chair Cox, we did not receive any public comments.
All right. Thank you very much. Next item is public hearings. There is one case today. Will the clerk please read the first case into the record?
Certainly. Public hearing number, or item F1, case number 2021-12-R. Consider a petition for a regular variance from District Rule 206 and conditions 9C1BV7, 9C1 9C1, 9C4A1, 9C4A2, 9C4A3, 9C4A6, 9C4A8, 9C4A10, 9C4A11, 9C4B1, 9C4B2, 9C4B3, 9C4C1, 9C4C2, 9C4C3, 9C4C5, 9C4B1, 9C4B2, 9C4B3, 9C4C1, 9C4C2, 9C4C3, 9C4C7, 9C4C8, 9C4B11, 9C4B12, 9C4B16, 9C4C1, 9C4C2, 9C4C3, 9C4C4, 9C4C7, 9C4C8, 9C4D1, 9C4D2, 9C4D5, 9C4D6, 9C4D7, 9C4D8, 9C4D9, 9C4C2, 9C4C3, 9C4C1, 9C4C2, 9C4C3, 9C4C4, 9C4C5, 9C4C6, 9C4C7, 9C4C8, 9C4D9, 9C4C2, 9C4C3, 9C4C4, 9C4C5, 9C4 ended on October 15th, 2021, for continued operations of the Mustang Recovery Facility without the following equipment that was damaged by the LSL fire: MRF baghouses, MRF scrubbers, and MRF biofilters. The petitioner operates the equipment described in the petition at the Santa Barbara County Tahiguas Landfill, located at 14470 Calle Real in Goleta, California.
Right, thank you very much. Witnesses, including district staff and members of the public for this case, shall now be sworn in. After taking the oath, you will be asked to state your name and affiliation to the case. If you will be testifying today, please raise your right hand. Okay. Do you solemnly swear to affirm under penalty of perjury in accordance with the laws of California that your testimony in these proceedings will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Could each participant that has been sworn in please state their name, affiliation, and that they affirm the oath? Members of the public, please click on raise your hand at the bottom of the screen or press 9 if you're attending by phone. You'll be notified and unmuted when it is your turn to speak. So if I can get everyone who swore in here to please go ahead and state your name and your affiliation and that you affirm the oath.
I'll go first. This is Amy Long with the district, and I do.
Eric Kett with the district, and I do.
Caitlin McNally with the district, I do.
John Dewey with Mustang, CEO, and I do.
Ned Gonzalez-Knight with the County of Santa Barbara, Department of Public Works, and I do.
Have all witnesses for this case been sworn in? I think you're muted, Lorna.
Chair Cooks, yes.
Okay, thank you. At this time, I'll ask the petitioner from Mustang Renewable Power Ventures LLC to make their case. During your report, be sure to include a response to all six findings, which I will read, required for approval of a variance, including whether you are or will be in violation of Health and Safety Code 41701 or any district rules or regulation. 2, noncompliance is due to conditions beyond reasonable control, and requiring compliance would result in unreasonable taking of property or closing of business. 3, closing or taking would be without corresponding benefit in reducing air pollution. Four has considered curtailing operations in lieu of obtaining a variance being given. Five, during the period the variance is in effect, excess emissions will be reduced to the maximum extent feasible. Six, during the period the variance is in effect, excess emissions can be quantified and or monitored. Again, please state your name for the record before you start.
Sure, John Dewey, CEO, Mustang Renewable Power Ventures, LLC, and MSB Investors, LLC. And if I could, I'm clicking on share screen. Let's see if this can come up. Okay, can everybody see? Okay, yes. Great.
Yeah, we can see your screen.
Great, let's click on that. Okay, just to quickly summarize our facilities, this is an aerial photo of the Resource Center project located at the Tejigos landfill. There's three elements that are the subject of our air permit, 14500-02 with the district. On the left, we have the material recovery facility, also known as the MRF or MRF. This is where we process solid waste and recyclables. To the right, the building on the ridgeline here is known as the anaerobic digestion facility or ADF. And then we also have about a 6-acre area, which is we refer to as the composting management unit or the CMU. So quickly summarize the MRF. The MRF is broken into building is about 70,000 square feet. It is comprised of two sections, a tipping area where the waste trucks bring in the municipal solid waste and tip or dump the materials onto the floor. Also, this tipping area is where we receive the recyclables. Once it's tipped onto the floor, then it is processed. The MSW goes into some shredders and a series of sorting materials. The purpose of all this equipment in the building is to sort out the trash from the south coast of Santa Barbara. We bring in about 600 tons of trash per day and about 225 tons of recycles per day, recyclables. The trash is sorted into three streams, valuable commodities such as glass, metal, paper, plastic, cardboard, wood that are included in the trash can. This generally happens in multifamily and commercial projects that aren't particularly motivated to separate into the blue bin all the recyclables. So we recover the valuable recyclables that are in the trash. We also recover the organic fraction of the municipal solid waste. And the organic fraction includes food waste and other wet compostable materials, such as cardboard and wet paper. And all of that organic waste is taken quickly out of the building. And in this area right here would be what we refer to as loadout bunkers, where the organic waste is transferred into trucks that are then taken up to the anaerobic digestion facility. So the facility also processes the recyclables, the glass, metal, paper, plastic, cardboard, wood are loaded into a series of bunkers and transferred onto trucks. The subject of our discussion today are the biofilters. And these biofilters in the lower right-hand side, we have two separate areas. We have the tipping area biofilter and the material sorting area biofilter. So 6 times per hour, we ventilate outside air into the building. All the outside air is then filtered out of the building in these large ventilation ducts through a series of baghouse filters to collect any particulate matter, as well as a number of scrubbers. The purpose of the scrubbers is intended to dose acid into a curtain of water, and then to reduce any ammonia that may be present in the indoor air that is being emitted from the building. So here's a little closer look at the baghouse filters. And then to the right of the baghouse filters, we have two scrubbers. Again, the focus of these scrubbers is to take a mixture of sulfuric acid and water and reduce ammonia. Ammonia is quite alkaline. The pH of ammonia could be above 9 or 10. The acid will come in at small dosing amounts of a pH of less than 2, and the combination of the two is designed to reduce ammonia before the air is then fed underneath about an 18-inch grate, and then it flows through about a 6-foot-thick bed of wood chip media. Purpose of the wood chip media is to create an environment that supports naturally occurring microorganisms, bacteria that have the effect of consuming potentially odor molecules, absorbing H2S if present in the indoor air, or any type of VOCs. And again, 6 changes of air per hour. The tipping floor generates airflow rate of about 24,000 cubic feet per minute. And the material sorting area has an airflow rate of about 38,000 cubic feet per minute. And that results in about 6 air changes per hour in both of the areas. Unfortunately, as we're all aware, on Monday afternoon, October 11th, the LSL fire occurred. The prevailing winds were from the north, northwest. They were probably 30 miles per hour, gusting to 50 miles per hour. And over the course of about 3 hours, the fire came down the ridge. And fortunately, both the MRF and the anaerobic digestion facilities are steel and concrete facilities, and they were largely unaffected by the fire. Unfortunately, the wood chip media received some airborne embers from a significant amount of brush that's located around the landfill, and the biofilters caught on fire. County Fire was on site. In the middle of the night, they drained a fire protection tank of about 260,000 gallons, and unfortunately were not able to extinguish the fire. Eventually, the wood chips consumed themselves over about a 3-day period under the direct supervision of County Fire. And then on Friday morning, October 15th, we saw cut through an opening in the 6-foot concrete wall. We entered the biofilter and removed what at that point was largely combusted wood chip media. So here's sort of a before and after biofilter with wood chips. And then afterwards, the fire not only consumed the wood chip media, but it migrated to the acid dosing scrubbers, which were made of HDP plastic, consumed those in about a 2.5-hour period. And then immediately on the ground next to the baghouse filter were the baghouse filter fans, and effectively the heat from the fire melted those fans. So we are without either biofilter scrubbers and baghouse filter fan at the moment. So let's get into your 6 findings. Chairman Cox read these for us, and let's go one by one. And then the 2 implicit findings. So yes, it is impossible to comply with this due to these LSL fire catastrophic losses. We are without all of these facilities designed to accommodate emissions coming from the indoor air at the MRF. Non-compliance due to conditions beyond the applicant's reasonable control. Requiring compliance would result in unreasonable taking of property or closing of business. That's absolutely correct. LSL fire resulting catastrophic damage clearly beyond the reasonable control of the petitioner. Immediate compliance, such as closing the facility without the operation of these facilities, unfortunately, would have a downstream effect. The county of Santa Barbara, the Public Works Department specifically, is charged with complying with other state regulations related to the processing of solid waste. A number of years ago, the legislature passed something known as Senate Bill 1383 that required a 50% reduction organic waste from disposal via landfill by 2020. This increases to 75% by 2025. The MRF does a fantastic job of diverting the organic waste away from landfilling and processing it via the anaerobic digestion facility, which is an organic, naturally occurring bacteria process that converts the organic waste into compost and a renewable biomethane that we combust in internal combustion engines to produce renewable power, which is sold out to the SoCal Edison grid. Unfortunately, if we were to close the facility due to the lack of the biofilters, that would require us to divert waste to another facility, either remotely in Ventura County at a significant cost. After the Alisal fire impacts, both the MRF and the landfill were closed for about 10 business days. We were able to clean up all of the resulting damage from the fire. The landfill gas lost a number, the landfill itself lost a number of landfill gas piping infrastructure, all of that was replaced, Herculean effort by public works staff and our team as well. And during that time, the waste was hauled down the road to Ventura County, about 40 to 50 Marburg trucks per year. Also, the facility right now, the combined MRF and anaerobic digestion facility, has about 90 full-time employees and about $5 million of annual payroll that benefits the community. Finding three. Such taking is without corresponding benefit in reducing pollution. Interestingly, the MRF biofilters primarily are focused on the removal of ammonia and H2S from the indoor stream. And we have found through significant indoor testing, both prior to the fire and on a daily basis since we became operational in late October following the cleanup efforts, that the indoor air measurements of ammonia are averaging about 0.5 parts per million by volume versus a 5.0 parts per million permit limit. So the ammonia concentrations in the indoor air is roughly 95% below permitted levels. And the reason for this, ammonia is generated from the decomposition of the organic waste included in the trash. All organic waste in the trash is processed very quickly through the building. We don't leave any of the trash sitting in the tip floor overnight. It's cleared on a daily basis. It's cleared through the facility within 1 to 3 hours of when it is delivered. And then once the material, the trash, is fed into our system, it is quickly processed in about 2 minutes time and conveyed outside of the building into the organics loadout bunkers. Every 20 minutes, we have a truck take it up to the anaerobic digestion facility where they load it into a series of concrete tunnels. The doors are sealed on a daily basis and the facility begins to produce the naturally occurring composting indoor in vessel process. In terms of H2S, it's been running about 0.02 parts per million, which is about 2% of the permitted level of 1 part per million. So the MRF biofilter, we're one of the few facilities in California that have an actual biofilter for processing indoor air. And it is, in general, I would say, it is a best management practice, that is true, but it might be a little bit of overkill based on a theoretical model that said, you know, odor and ammonia could be much worse than it is actually occurring in real life in practice. Finding four, applicant has considered curtailing operations. As I mentioned previously, curtailing operations could impose significant economic and other regulatory compliance burdens on the county, and combine that with trucking waste remotely, either to Ventura County or potentially the city of Santa Maria landfill, could increase GHG emissions significantly. And also, none of those other landfills have processing facilities that are able to divert organic waste away from landfilling. So the MRF is one of the first of its kind in California that processes the organics out of the waste. Public Works and the county have a lot to be proud of that we are using the best available technology imported largely from Europe to generate the greatest possible greenhouse gas reductions by not burying organics in the landfill that decompose and produce methane. And again, significant economic cost that would be imposed on the ratepayers and the greenhouse gas impacts if we were to truck all of this waste offsite, and not also the significant loss of payroll and employees. Number five, applicant will reduce emissions to maximum extent feasible. We will continue to efficiently process the waste at the MRF, diverting the organics to the anaerobic digestion facility, which will reduce emissions during the variance period. And again, the brief MRF waste retention time is what efficiently diverts, you know, an average of 1.5 hours of tip floor time for the waste and less than 2 minutes to see the material go out through the loadout facility to, again, reduce the ammonia and H2S to the greatest extent possible. Number six, applicant will monitor and report emissions. On the right, this is a map of the MRF where we have been doing continuous indoor air sampling and monitoring over the past 30 days. Happy to provide that information to the district on a monthly basis. And we'll continue to do that. We see slight differences in PM emissions through the day. We process MSW in the morning, and that material is largely quite wet because of the organic waste that's in there. There is not a lot of PM generated from that material. In the afternoon, we process the recyclables, and the recyclables are roughly 55% cardboard. And the cardboard does generate a small amount of PM, effectively paper dust, that comes out of the processing of the material through our various different devices. So we will continue to monitor and report that on a monthly basis. Two implicit findings. Operation under variance, not a nuisance. Again, our indoor air levels of ammonia and H2S are 2 to 5% roughly of our permit limit. And the PM is roughly what we anticipated. So we are motivated. Implicit finding two, where other requirements that guarantee expeditious compliance. Again, we have to put the baghouse filter back in place. Given the vendors that we work with that supplied the material, it is about a 3 to 4 month process to receive replacement fans, and then we'll get them installed within a 1 or 2 month period thereafter. The biofilter, County Fire has asked us if and when we rebuild the biofilter that we do not use wood chip as a media because of the high fire high wildfire hazard condition, obviously at the landfill. Many of you might be aware the last fire to hit this area was the Refugio fire in 1955. So it has been quite a number of years. But again, County Fire signed off on all of this design up front. It was not considered an extraordinary risk of any kind. And the sizing of the water tank for the MRF at the facility was designed to battle a fire that might come from within the building. It was not anticipated for 6 feet of wood chips located on an 18-inch grate that provided perfect fuel and oxygen. So we're estimating that we need to evaluate some alternative media and filtration methods for the biofilter repair and replacement. And based on our consultant advice, that could take about 9 to 12 months to complete. Again, just to sum up, you know, the MRF is very valuable piece of critical solid waste infrastructure. Our firm, Mustang Renewable Power Ventures, we are a partner with Santa Barbara County Public Works Department. We're the developer that designed, built, and now we operate the facility in partnership with Marburg and also in close partnership with the county, which continues to own and operate not only these facilities or own these facilities, but then also operate the Tahigas landfill, where the residue from the processing facility goes. Again, we need to maintain the operations to comply with some of the other regulatory requirements on the county and public works. Significant amount of new living wage employees. And then also the alternative of not operating the MRF would be a significant burden on the ratepayer. So with that, I'm happy to open up for any questions.
Does anyone have any questions? First, start with the board.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Peters raised his hand. Go ahead, Mr. Peters.
Well, I'd just like to say thank you for that presentation. That was quite illustrative, very good explanation for what's occurring out there. Thank you.
Mr. Dressler, I think, right? Or?
It was.
Oh, Rob, sorry about Saperstein. Mr. Saperstein.
That's all right. I just wanted to make sure I understood. So the both the Santa Maria and Ventura landfills don't have a diversion facility or don't have the filtration type sophisticated operations that we have at Tahigas?
Neither City of Santa Maria nor the Ventura County landfills have a material recovery facility that sorts through the trash and recovers the organic waste. So Ventura County does have a facility that processes recyclables and separates them, but they do not have a facility that sorts through the trash to recover the organic waste. And City of Santa Maria also does not have any program in place to divert their organic waste from landfilling. So there are a number of jurisdictions, not only in Santa Barbara County, but throughout California, that have not yet taken steps to address their compliance with organic waste diversion. It's a tremendous challenge to all the jurisdictions around the state. And our facility is one of the first of its kind to take that bold leap into the future of organics diversion and best management practices with the anaerobic digestion processing of organic waste into renewable energy and compost.
Wow. Fascinating. So they've got their own problems with compliance with the
Mr. Saperstein.
Yes,
Mr. Saperstein, I can speak on behalf of Santa Maria, the City of Santa Maria landfill. I do know that they have a food waste program that they are implementing throughout the city, where they do work with restaurants to receive the food waste, and then that is composted at another facility, Engle and Gray, in town. So I think that is how they are meeting some of those state requirements.
Yeah, wow. Well, I guess we ought to, in a different form, congratulate the Santa Barbara County and whomever it was that pushed these facilities. Fascinating what you do. The lack of air filtration then doesn't pose a risk to your employees?
No, we continue to ventilate the building with our 6 air changes per hour of fresh air. We have large roll-up doors on all 4 sides of the facility, and we basically leave those doors open right now. So we have very good fresh air flow through the buildings, and the levels of PM are ranging from 30 to 50 parts per million of PM10. So it's below the Cal OSHA standard concern. We offer all of our employees in the building N95 masks, and they all basically decline, saying it's not necessary because they don't feel any burden in terms of the dust that does occur when we sort through the cardboard and the paper.
Thank you. Very, very good presentation.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Mr. Dressler.
I have a question for staff. Have we received any odor complaints since the filter system has not been operating?
We have not received any odor complaints.
Thank you. Other than that, I thought it was a very good presentation, very clear, and I appreciate the whole presentation being organized around the findings.
Yep. All right, so before we go to, yes.
Just a quick question. Again, that was a really exemplary presentation, and I thank you. And a clearly modern facility. You should be congratulated on what you'd accomplished before the fire set in. Just a quick technical question. When you talked about the indoor permit limits, I'm assuming that those are occupational limits and not air emission limits from the APCD?
Well, there, let's distinguish. The indoor air concentrations, we contrast those against the district outdoor emission limits. So the emission limit of ammonia, for example, of 5 parts per million is an emission limit at the biofilter. And the indoor air is a fraction of that. So we have completed our source test of the biofilters, and they confirmed that 0.5 was reduced even further by the emission control of the biofilters. Separate from that, we have to be concerned about our own regulatory compliance with Cal OSHA standards for indoor air quality for the employees. And we are, again, far below the Cal OSHA standards for the indoor air compliance requirements, completely separate and distinct from our outdoor emission requirements.
All right, then. Any other questions or comments? Well, Mr. Dewey, before I hand it on over to the district, I want to say that your presentation was fantastic. Perhaps one of the best I've seen since I've been on the board here. I'm not a structural engineer or anything, but if you're looking for another medium, I guess the question is, why wouldn't you just make it so you could have a cover over the facility that you'd close it instead of having another medium?
What's interesting is the media performs an interesting function from a microorganism perspective. Our vendor for the biofilter is a German firm, and they have roughly 150 of these biofilters implemented across Europe and also a number of facilities in California and the West. Wastewater treatment plants often use biofilter facilities. The wood chips provide a very high surface area, so you can develop a lot of the bacteria colonies. And they have suggested that some facilities have used an alternative media such as lava rock, which is extremely porous and could facilitate colonization of the bugs even without it being a material. The wood chips provide some other benefits. You know, the alternative to a wood chip biofilter is an activated carbon filter, which is very high CapEx and OpEx because you're constantly replacing the media. So our air quality consultant, AECOM, is evaluating alternatives for us. Given the significantly reduced volume of, you know, ammonia and H2S that we're experiencing in the facility because of the efficient processing of the waste, you know, we're evaluating a lot of different alternatives. Once we reach a conclusion, we'll be back in front of district engineering to discuss alternatives. But County Fire said, let's think outside the box. Interestingly, we irrigate these facilities. We water them on a daily basis because the moisture for the bugs ideally is 60 to 70%. So we try and keep them very wet. Unfortunately, not wet enough for all the airborne debris in a wildfire condition. Last thing I'd say, I would love to host any or all of you out for a tour at the facility because it is quite impressive to go inside the building and see the operation of our sorting facility and how it separates trash to the valuable recyclable commodities. And then also the anaerobic digestion facility that takes your organic waste in vessel. Again, our partner in the anaerobic digestion facility is a German company that has about 50 of these facilities operating worldwide. And it is the most effective capture of methane from organic waste decomposition. And we also capture that methane and produce about 2 megawatts of renewable power. Also, the south side of the MRF, we have two internal combustion engines. We are now responsible for the landfill gas to energy facility, where we actually power the recycling plant off of landfill gas. And we still have landfill gas left over that we're evaluating the possibility of turning into renewable natural gas for transportation purposes. So we have a portfolio of science projects that I think would fascinate all of you, you air emission experts.
Well, good. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Mr. Chair, Amy, I don't know if it would be you or whomever district staff might be able to organize something like that, maybe the first quarter of next year. I would really enjoy that. And Mr. Dew, I don't know if you do any work with the Bren School at UCSB or at least offer that similar opportunity for some of the students there. I would think, I'm not sure who the right person would be, but that would be a great opportunity for some of the graduate students there.
That's a great idea. We have had that on our to-do list. We only opened the sorting facility in February of this year, and the anaerobic digestion facility started receiving the material in August. Oh, no. We put our first material on the composting area about a month ago. So I would definitely like to reach out to them and collaborate, because I think the university students would find this a tremendous resource and asset to the community, learning about best practicing of solid waste and how we're reducing greenhouse gas emissions from avoiding putting organic waste into the landfill where it decomposes and produces that methane.
And I'll just chime in. The Department of Public Works, we do actually host several classroom tours, in a sense. We do have staff here who give tours year-round and work with different professors at UCSB and different high schools in town. So we are actively trying to educate our community as well.
Good. Well, thank you. Thank you, everyone. So at this time, I'll ask the district staff to please respond to the request.
I don't have anything further to add. This is Amy with the district. I don't have anything further to add. I do want to thank John for his presentation. I think that it was very helpful for everybody involved.
Great. Thank you. Well, then, go ahead.
Chair Cox, I heard Mr. Dewey's invite to the hearing board to visit his facility, but because it would be a quorum of the hearing board, it would have to be noticed as a public hearing.
If we all went at once, but if two of us went and then later on another one went or something, that would be different.
Yes. And I can help out as to how this can be done without within the four corners of the Brown Act.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Well, then with that said, because this case is a request for regular variance, all six findings must be made and stated for the record in order for the variance to be approved. Do any of the hearing board members have any additional questions about the findings as outlined by the petitioner? Not hearing any other issues or concerns, the six findings have been met. And paraphrasing the six findings that will be in the order, that the six findings have been made. So finding number one, without variance coverage, the petitioner will be in violation of District Code 206 and previously identified conditions. Number two, due to conditions beyond reasonable control of the petitioner, requiring compliance would result in either A, an arbitrary taking of property, or B, the practical closing and elimination of lawful businesses by ceasing operations at the material recovery facility. Three, the closing or taking would be without a corresponding benefit in reducing air contaminants. It required transportation of materials to an alternate facility in Ventura County and would lead to increased traffic, emissions, and approximately $20 million in costs. And as I learned today, additional potentially loss of $5 million in wages. Four, the petitioner has considered curtailing operations of the sources in lieu of obtaining a variance. However, the material recovery facility is required to meet state regulations, and curtailing operations would significantly increase the cost to ratepayers for landfill diversions. Five, During the period the variance is in effect, the petitioner will reduce excess emissions to the maximum extent feasible through modified procedures and processes. Furthermore, the emissions will remain well below permit level authorizations. And six, during the period of the variance, the petitioner will monitor and measure the emissions in accordance with the variance order 2021-12-R. So with that said, do we have any public comment?
Chair Cox, we did not receive any public comment.
Okay. Have any changes been identified in today's discussion that need to be reflected in the variance as currently drafted?
Chair Cox, I don't believe so.
Okay, nothing heard. Then may I please get a motion to accept the variance and publish the order?
I'll move acceptance of the variance and publishing of the order.
Thank you, Mr. Gresham. May I get a second?
Second.
Mr. Sapstein, I have a motion and a second. Any other comments before we vote? All right. Like to take a motion, we'll do a roll call vote.
Dr. Colomé?
Yes.
Mr. Dressler?
Yes.
Mr. Peters?
Yes.
Mr. Sapstein?
Yes.
And Chair Cox?
Yes. All right, so the motion passes. I'd like to thank everyone for participating. This has been a very interesting and informative board meeting. Appreciate that. The meeting is now adjourned to January 5th at 2022, at 9:30 a.m. But we will meet sometime before that to extend the ability to do virtual meetings. The meeting is subject to cancellation if there are no items to be heard. Any other last comments by anyone? All right.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. If I could ask Ms. Odena and Ms. Novak to please stay on afterwards. But other than that, thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Cox. Thank you, members.
Thank you.